Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. There are links there not only to three social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact with not only other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. If you did not hear last week's episode with Brett Meister, who talked about working with the Harlem Globetrotters and going to the Vatican and meeting two popes and a whole lot more, wow, you missed a lot. In the Facebook group, I even put a follow-up link to something he talked about. But you also missed me announcing last week a new place to join me online. I will share those details again as part of this episode. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Whether it's tryouts or training camp or in-season practices or gulp, maybe even a student attending, say, a summer camp, for example, some athletes wonder, what is the point of this drill? Where did coach come up with this one? They will quietly second-guess their coach. Or actually, sometimes they're not so quiet and will, if nothing else, voice their disbelief to one or more teammates who are physically nearby to them. They might later tell someone at home what a waste they thought it was. Sadly, we see a form of this in church, a reading that someone feels bored by, or a homily during which someone will whisper, "What does this have to do with anything?" In the same way that coaches need to be respected and trusted for their guidance and their decisions, the New Testament also offers reinforcement that, similarly, we must heed God's word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 say, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for refutation, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that one who belongs to God may be competent, equipped for very good work." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has been a swimmer for probably more of her life than not, starting from a young age to club teams, to high school, to college, and even participating today in U.S. Masters swimming. Plus, she also coached high school swimming, and she is going to be a judge at CYO swim meets. Along the way, as a student athlete, she also competed in cycling. She has also come to see the connection between swimming and her faith, which we will hear about today. As a wife and a mother, she also has a side business that serves those same roles and is influenced by her Catholic faith. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Kira Mooberry.
Hi, Bruce. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Yes. Thanks for making time to do this. Throughout our conversation, I'm sure we'll probably end up hearing about your having moved around a lot as an army brat, as they call it. So where were you actually born, but also what was the presence of the Catholic faith in your household like?
So I was born in New Jersey, near Fort Dix. And then we only lived there for 1 year, and then we started to move more after that.
Wow.
And I'm the oldest of three kids, and the faith life was always a part of our family. So I was born Catholic, baptized Catholic as a baby, and we were always part of our parish wherever we lived. But the parish that I remember the most, because we lived there the longest, we were in Virginia near Richmond for 9 years. And that's actually where I graduated high school. So if you ask me where I grew up, that's where I'll claim. And the parish there had a really robust community. And so a lot of people who were in our neighborhood or other military families that were local, that lived locally, went there. And so it just had a very vibrant community that just kind of spread into the neighborhood, as well as the church, which was a neat crossover. And so we were involved with the people there, and we went to Mass every Sunday, and we did CCD at three of the parish on the weekends. And that was the majority of where our faith formation happened, was at the parish.
Yeah.
In CCD.
Well, in the intro, I said that you started swimming at a young age. Two questions there. How young were you? And then also, how was it swimming that became your sport and not, say, softball or track or soccer or gymnastics, for example?
So I don't know when I started lessons. I was probably two or three.
Wow.
And then I could swim all strokes by the time I was seven or eight through those lessons.
Wow.
And the reason behind that is my dad was a swimmer. So he swam. He started, I think, a little later than I did, but I think around middle school was when he started swimming competitively.
Mm.
And he's a huge fan of the sport, not just for himself, but he'll follow other swimmers and their careers. And he knows the names of a ton of Olympians. And so when I was eight, he found out there was a swim team on the base in Kansas, where we lived, called the Fort Leavenworth Lancers. So that was my first team. And he asked me, "Hey, Kira, do you want to join the swim team?" And I was like, "Sure, Dad." And then I started practicing with them, and he would drive me to the meets on the weekends. And that's where I got my start.
Mm, so cool. So cool. In my ministry moment, I talked about athletes possibly questioning their coach, at least in that example, when it comes to a drill. Kira, you say that your high school swim coach was much more than just being about working with you and your teammates as athletes, but then also that you wish you had listened to him when it came to looking for colleges. Can you talk about that observation, meaning the way he guided y'all as young women, but then also, as I mentioned, your realization about what you could have gained by being more open to advice?
Yes. Yeah, so he was very big on making sure that we were able to be the best swimmers that we wanted to be. So allowing us to choose, in a way, how much we were going to put into it, and then making sure that we got the results that we wanted based on that, and with his, you know, with his guidance, with his training. But if our heart wasn't in reaching a certain level, he was okay with that, as long as we were doing our best to try and reach the level that we wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of goes in hand in hand, I think, with the college advice he was willing to give us, was that he wanted to help us hit the level that we wanted. And so for me, I probably, in hindsight, I would have been okay with really any level of swimming where I could have continued and enjoyed the team and been competitive. And so if I had been more open, he probably would have helped me find a team that I possibly could have had scholarship money for, or maybe would have been a better fit for my personality, because he was very good at attuning to his athletes and their personalities, not just their swimming ability.
Mm.
but I'd already set my sights on a certain university and thought I couldn't swim because I didn't think I was fast enough for them. So if I had been open to just hearing his ideas and his advice, I think I may have maybe would have found a school that maybe would have just been a better fit for me personality-wise, and where I would have been kind of on this, exactly the same par with more of the swimmers who I was competing with.
Okay, but just for the record, though, clarify for the audience, before I ask you about something that happened in your college years swimming, mm-hmm. clarify for the audience where you did go then, because you're saying that you had already made up your mind where you were going to go.
So I had already chosen to go to Washington State University because I wanted to be close to where my parents were planning to live through one more Army move. and so I chose that school. And so when he sat me down for my college advising, he was like, "What are you thinking?" And I said, "Oh, I'm going to this university." He says like, "Oh, okay." And then I told him I didn't think I could swim for them because I thought I wasn't fast enough. And then he was still really encouraging at that point and said, "Well, go pull their top 10 times and see where you fall for your best event," which was 100 butterfly. And I actually fell on the list with my best time. And so then he encouraged me to pursue it because my heart was still definitely in the pool.
Yeah.
And that was how I was able to then swim for that level.
Nice, nice. Well, your sophomore year of college, something happened to you in the lead up to the Pac-10 championships. Share with the audience what that was, in addition to a breakthrough spiritually that took place one evening.
So my sophomore year of college, right about a month before our championship meet in the winter, early spring, I got shingles due to stress caused by a multitude of things. And it was really derailing, both just to my spirit and to my swimming and what I saw happening at the championships. And one night I was just very upset about it, and I was in my room, and I just, in a moment of just kind of nothing else was comforting to me at all. And in that moment, I reached for my Bible, which was not my norm at the time. And I opened it to see just maybe I could find something in there. And it opened immediately to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, which is to have no anxiety at all, but through everything, have faith in God and he will give you peace. And that was still, that verse today is still one of my guiding verses. It's my favorite.
Mm. Wow. Wow. And I've said before in the show, there are no coincidences. And that's amazing that it was exactly what you needed in more ways than one. So what all came out of that spiritual awakening that night, meaning faith-wise, sports-wise, career-wise, all the after effects of that?
It brought me back to Mass. I was not going to Mass those first 2 years of college very often. It was a very occasional thing. It was easy for me initially to walk away. And this brought me back. It brought me home. And so I started to go back to Mass at the Newman Center. And then I started to get involved with the Newman Center and surround myself with good holy people, holy students who were striving for holiness in their life, and just getting to be a part of that and make that more part of my life again. And then I discerned that I was ready to walk away from the competitiveness of swimming at the D1 caliber that I was doing. And then I actually had a teammate. So a teammate introduced me to my husband. I was She kept bugging me. She was like, I want you to meet this guy. And I kept saying no. My heart was very close off to it. And then I finally, after my reversion, my heart all of a sudden was open to meeting him. And I had no idea he was going to be my husband. I was only 19. I was like, no way. And then, I met him and things went from there. So,
Wow. Oh, quite the stories that Kira has, huh, folks? The kind of storytelling you want to curl up alongside your listening device with while enjoying a nice soothing cup of coffee, right? And while you're at it, how about a mug for your friend Bruce at buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. That's exactly what you can do now, which is the announcement I was referring to at the start of this episode that I shared on last week's interview with Brett Meister. While I still very much ask your prayerful consideration to support me and my Catholic Sports Radio ministry through the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, my fear is that you think that it has to be a recurring gift or that it has to be some huge sum of money. And while I'd greatly accept and appreciate one or both of those, that's not the case, either one. But if it has caused you to say, I like Bruce, I like Catholic Sports Radio, I like the work he's doing and what his ministry stands for, but no, he's just going to have to find a way to take on all those bills his ministry gets without me, then consider instead simply buying me a cup of coffee or two. This is not affiliated with any coffee shop. There's no shipping involved. Don't overthink this. I like to consider it a way for us to be in community with one another virtually. And yes, if you do buy me a cup or more of coffee, I'll even say your name on the air as a kind of a online coffee party, let's call it, or maybe somebody wants to send me a better name, online coffee club. I don't know. Anyway, go to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW to do that, and you will see that you can even put a note to me in there. I just posted this on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at the end of last week, and it's not even on the website yet. So I hope you've jotted that down, or will look for those social media posts to get at the link from there. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate your gifts as a way of tithing and helping me continue working to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Kira, you were sharing with us about all that changed in your life, your sports life, etc., after that reversion you had. But what about post-college? What were you doing work-wise? Because I know this all still plays a role in your faith story continuing.
So, as I was discerning things after swimming, one of the other things I discerned is that I wanted to be a high school math teacher. And so then I continued to pursue the avenue to do that. And I taught high school math for 9 years. One was at a public school, but then every other year I taught in a Catholic high school. And so it was when I started to teach at a Catholic high school for the first time that I realized how much my students knew about our Catholic faith that I didn't know. Mm. And so I started to read more spiritual reading and research more about the faith. And since then I've been on the journey to just learn more so that, as a family, my husband and I together have decided that we want to be all in with our kids. And so making sure that we're learning about it and growing ourselves so we can guide our children through the faith.
Okay, but help me understand that, though, because in the first half of the show, you talked about being a cradle Catholic, and you talked about this really robust community that you lived in. So how is it that you felt that you didn't know much about the Catholic Church after we heard about where you grew up around the Catholic faith?
So I think just that the formation itself in like NCCD was not extremely robust in teaching the theology. And so it also maybe was that it didn't always stick with me either as a kid, but I came out loving the church in a way, because of the community we had there, but I didn't know all the teachings of the church coming out from that community. And so that was the realization that that I wanted to learn more.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're saying, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but, you know, it's great to have block parties and barbecues and events with people together and be in community with one another, but if that's all they are social events and there's no real Catholic teaching, you didn't attend a Catholic school. So you're only going to get so much out of those limited CCD classes, I think you're saying, yes?
Yes, yeah.
Well, let's get back to sports. I want to hear about you and present day. I want to hear more about Masters swimming.
Okay. So I have, so Masters swimming is for adults, swimmers of all levels, whether they want to be competitive or not. There are a lot of people who just practice and don't do any competitions. There are people who practice for their triathlons. People who practice and then compete in swim meets and open water swims. And so you have the 18 to join, but then you can be anyone at any age level can do it. And they have two national championships each year, one in the spring and one at the end of summer. And my dad also competes in Masters, actually more often than I have been recently. And this past August, the Nationals were going to be in Richmond, Virginia, so our old stomping grounds as a family. And so he invited me to go and compete with him. And I, my youngest daughter, she's only one. She turned one in August. And so I actually hadn't been swimming much leading up to that point, but I knew she was going to be one. And I thought, well, I could swim enough that I could go do some short events at this meet and meet my dad and have a good time with him. And so I was able to train enough and do a few events. And then I, while I was there, I reconnected with my local, their Masters team here who I practiced with before. And I reconnected with a few of them. And I, since then, I have started to practice with them a few nights a week, and that's been, it's been really wonderful to be back in the pool again.
So is it fair to categorize you in the competitive aspect of master swimming as opposed to the recreational, or am I wrong?
Yes, I would say I'm somewhat competitive. I really like the racing part of it. I love a good swim meet, and I would like to keep doing a few more this year.
Awesome. Awesome. Back in the intro, I alluded to your coming to the realization of the faith slash swim connection. Explain to the audience what all you have observed in reaching that conclusion.
I see it as a gift. My athleticism is a gift. The body that can do the swimming as a gift. And the people he put in my life to help me along the way. So my parents, they were a huge part of it, getting me started in it. And paying for all the swimming and driving me to all the practices and the meets. And then my wonderful coaches over the years were a gift. And they gave me their gifts as well to help me. But I see it all being, now I see how all the little pieces go together and had God's hand in them. And so now when I'm swimming, I feel just so thankful that he's given me this gift and that I am able to glorify him in a way with my swimming and give it, try and offer it back to him.
So I do want to give you a chance to talk about something I mentioned in the intro, which combines your being a wife and a mother and your Catholic faith.
One of my passions is teaching, but also being a mother. And so I have started a small side business. It's online, digital products and some blog posts to help teach moms some of the organizational systems that I've developed over the years for my motherhood and for my home life to help me stay organized. But it's all faith-based as well. So it's all with a central idea of encouraging mothers in our vocation.
And folks, I'll tell you, it's heartinhandmama.com, heartinhandmama.com. But I am also going to put a link to that on the show page for this episode on catholicsportsradio.net. Kira, I want to close by having you share some of the different activities that you're doing faith-wise nowadays. I know there's a handful of them, and you also mentioned before that your husband and you have made a real commitment to your Catholic faith, which I think came during a significant time for one of your children in the church, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So when our oldest son was baptized, the priest who baptized him, who was a friend of ours, spoke during his homily about how important it was for parents to be fully engaged in the faith, to be on fire for the faith, and to know the faith well in order to lead our children along the way. And so that was just such a call to us at that point to continue, just to stay focused and to continue on the journey to live it out as best as we could, and also in fully in line with the teachings of the church. So there were some teachings we weren't clear on, and we made sure we got clear on them really quickly. Mm-hmm. And brought ourselves in line with them. And so that was another significant point in our faith life and in our parenthood and in our marriage. So today, I'm homeschooling my children this year. And so that journey is continuing even more of learning with them, which is really fun because we're doing Bible lessons and catechism lessons together. And then beyond that, for myself and my own faith growth, I'm also attending a weekly women's Bible study at our parish. We have a walking with purpose group at our church. And then I love when I'm able to go to daily mass by myself and just enjoy the quiet. That is a little different atmosphere for me than when we're all at Sunday mass together. So we get that time alone with the Lord, and then go to adoration by myself or with my kids and my husband. That's mostly what I've been focusing on these days.
You mentioned earlier on about when you first met the person that would eventually become your husband, but how long have the two of you been married? And then I know you mentioned having a one-year-old as of August, but your children and their ages also.
So we've been married for 11 years, and we have three boys and a girl, our oldest three are the boys, and then our daughter is our youngest, and our boys are 8, 6, and 3, and then our daughter just turned 1 in August.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Kira, so great to have you on the show. Thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And folks, you heard Kira say that she does still lean towards being a competitor and not doing swimming for recreational reasons. So I thought it would be fitting if we close this episode with an athlete's prayer, given how much time she has spent in the pool throughout her life. So let's pray it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For I asked God for strength that I might achieve. Instead, I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for help that I might do greater things. Instead, I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praises of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered, because I am among all athletes who have been most richly blessed. You see, I lost by inches, but I won by a mile. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, CATH, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, It's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.